Podcast.
Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings, Kiss Army.
All right, now we have a special guest. I want to tell you how this all occurred. The Nashville Rock and Pod Expo is coming up in a few months, and we put out there trying to raise money for the Rock and Pod Expo. If you donate $100, you can come on the podcast with Jody and I and do a show. And Sonny Pooney, he donated $100 so we could come on the show. So thanks, Sonny. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to hanging with the Kiss Army for a while.
Absolutely. How's the weather out there in California?
It's always 80 degrees and no clouds. That's how it is.
There's always the earth shaking, too.
Well, that's you know, you got to give and get. That's how it goes.
Right.
Well, I will tell you that I'm not recording in my regular place. Normally, I am upstairs in my bedroom. Tonight, I'm recording downstairs in the basement. Guess why?
Flooding.
Nope, flooding? We're under a tornado watch.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So, I got Jace over there. He's on his iPad. I'm on my I'm on the computer, and we're gonna do this show. And no matter what happens, we're on.
Wow. Fingers crossed.
All right.
This is gonna be awesome. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys to go to podcastrockcity.com. There's a page on there for T-shirts. Jody has designed a ton of kick-ass T-shirts, and you could go on there. There's a link. You click on the link, it'll take you to all of Jody's designs. And I mean,
they're not all mine, dude.
Oh well, okay, no, that's right. That's right. Kevin sent some, right?
Yeah, and plus we have our classic logo, and we have
But there's. But,
I made
there's
a few, but Kevin sent some, and we had our other logo already, obviously.
Okay, that's true. I forgot about that. But there's a lot of Jody stuff in there, too, and they're really great. So you pick up a T-shirt. If you do that, and when you get it, take your picture, send it to us so we know it. There's also an Amazon link on there. Anytime you want to shop at Amazon, click on that link and shop, and they give us a kickback that helps pay for all of our podcasting stuff and I'm trying to get this all done at the beginning. iTunes, don't forget, subscribe. Podomatic, subscribe. You can leave us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. And you can email us at podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. That's it. That's all I got.
All right, we got the work done. Now we can have the fun, right?
Have the fun. All right, so... Yeah, man. You know, normally we would come up with a subject for this, but we asked Sonny, hey, what do you want to talk about? And man, he gave us like 10 different subjects. And we said, I said, Jody, what do you want to do? He goes, let's try and do them all.
Yeah, as many as we can get to.
And we're even going to do a Sweet 16.
Hell yeah, we are.
Love those. Love those.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Sonny sent us his own choosing for a Sweet 16, so it should be pretty awesome. So stay tuned. It'll be coming up a little bit later.
It's going to be awesome. Okay, so there is a little bit of news.
Podcast Rock City News.
You know that yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that's when I saw it, Mark St. John's death. That's crazy that it's been 10 years.
Wow, it seems longer than that to me, though. It seems like he's been gone a long time.
Unfortunately, that's what it said. You know, 10 years ago, Kiss guitarist Mark St. John dies. It does feel like it was longer ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, because I think it was because we didn't hear from him for a while either, right?
Right.
So he's been just kind of off the grid for a while.
Yeah. It's interesting how like it has the classic thing that Gene always says. It's Kiss guitarist Mark St. John died. You know what I mean? It wasn't White Tiger or whatever else he may have done.
Sonny, were you a big did you like Mark St. John's work when he worked on Animalize?
Animalize was my first album.
Wow.
Yeah, Animalize was my first. I bought 4 albums that day, and that was one of the ones I bought.
Awesome. Wow. That's crazy that you remember that. Okay, I got a little bit more news, but let's find out something about you real quick. Favorite member of Kiss?
Ace.
Yeah.
Cool.
Favorite album?
Asylum.
Awesome.
Oh, Asylum. Wow. That's shocking and cool. How many times have you seen him live?
Oh, God. I've lost count. At least 20.
Whoa!
Right on.
Have you ever traveled to see them? Like, has all your shows been in California, or have you gone to, like, I don't know, New York?
All of my shows have been in California, but, you know, California is a big state, so lived in San Francisco Bay Area and traveled to L.A. a couple of times to see them.
That's crazy.
What's cool about the Bay Area is you can see them, like, when they would come, you could see them in either Oakland or San Francisco, then you could see them in San Jose, then you could see them in Sacramento, and if you wanted to drive to L.A., you could see them again.
Right.
Yeah, and then they just come to Atlanta once, if they even come at all. They missed us on the Psycho Circus tour, and I haven't forgiven them yet for that.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was a good show, too.
Oh, why you gotta do that?
Sorry.
So, Sonny, your favorite album is Asylum, huh?
Yeah, I got, you know, there's a bunch that are close. Like, if I had to do kind of like top five, it's Asylum, Unmasked, Kiss, the self-titled, Revenge, and Rock and Roll Over. So, they're all kind of close to me, but Asylum, I don't hate a single song on that album. I love them all. So,
wow,
that's cool. I'm a big Asylum fan too. Not too many Kiss fans seem to dig it. I love it, man.
Yeah. The look, you know, I could do without the look. I wish they would have had kind of like maybe the Revenge look, but you know, it was It was the mid-80s. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it was the era of neon.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they would have just looked even like they did on Animalize, like the back cover, it would have been fine. And then that album would have a totally different place in history, I feel.
Yeah, people listen with their eyes, right?
Totally.
What's your favorite song on that record?
I would say probably Who Wants to Be Lonely.
Oh, that's my favorite video.
Yeah. You know, it was MTV that got, it was Heaven's on Fire that got me interested at all. I go to buy the record, and I'm shifting through the Kiss section to find Animalize, and I find this album that's got four painted faces on it. I'm like, these are the same guys? Is this, like, misplaced in the bin? So I bought Dynasty and Animalize on the same day.
Were you, like, a teenager, or were you in, how old were you?
15.
Oh, you were 15 at the time.
Wow. Yeah. So if you think about it, like, you know, the comic book and all that stuff that got kind of people interested in the mid-70s, I'm only 7 or 8 years old. Right. And there wasn't really music playing in my house. If it wasn't for MTV, I would have got stuck in Bollywood because all my parents listened to was Indian music. Oh, so, yeah.
So as a teenager, you never really knew that Kiss had makeup before?
No, had no clue.
Wow.
The first time I saw it was the day I bought Animalize, and my first Kiss show was Asylum. I saw him in February that year, Wasp opened. That was my first Kiss show.
Cool.
That's pretty awesome. You know, I'm gonna tell you guys something very shocking. I love Indian music, man.
I hate it.
Oh,
I heard too much of it.
I can tell you this, man. The first experience I ever had with any kind of Indian culture, as sad as this is going to sound, was Bend It Like Beckham. Everybody's seen that movie. I watched that movie, and the Indian culture is fucking amazing. The weddings, the parties, they're off the chain, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion, it gets old quick. But
I'm sure.
So you're the George of our group, huh, Joe?
I guess I am. That's awesome. I wouldn't know because, unfortunately, I've never watched what? Seinfeld.
No, I'm talking about the Beatles.
Really?
George.
Beatles. Oh, George. See, look, I really know nothing about the Beatles either. And no, I've never watched Seinfeld.
That's even crazier to me.
Yeah.
All right, so let's... also, this is the anniversary, man, of Kiss on the Mike Douglas Show.
Today is?
Yeah, today.
Cool. What a freak show that was, huh?
Yeah, it was a
totally different video. How many times have you watched that? Like, for me, it's got to be at least 50 times I've watched that.
More than
that. Yeah, I've seen it several times. Gene is kind of out of this world in that interview.
He wants to bite everybody's neck.
What about the first time you guys saw that when, like, Gene comes out just in that classic black looking super long and lanky like a freaking spider? Was it so cool to you?
It was cool, but the first time I saw it was much later, obviously. But I will tell you that every time I watch it, even now, I'm very uncomfortable.
You and Toadie Fields both.
She was
first time I saw it was one of those Kiss Vision collections, TV collection, you know.
And right.
I'd never seen Gene move or even in any kind of footage in that costume, you know, in the classic skull and crossbones, you know, first outfit. And he just looks so badass, I think. Especially because the set is so white and, like, Gene is so black. So there's a lot of, like, dramatic contrast there. And he just looks so cool and evil. And you could tell that everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy? You know?
Oh, yeah, man. They were in shock. You know, there's a lot of giggling.
Yeah, it's so cool.
If you watch, though, when they go out and play, right? I think at the end of their song, they show a shot from behind the crowd, and you can see a bunch of people standing up, like, waving their hands.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, yep, they got it. Those people right there went, oh, yeah, we just saw something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like what Paul's always talking, where it's like people are laughing, and he's thinking, you won't be laughing after this, right?
Yeah, and it was true.
Always true.
Always true. All right, so that's pretty much the news. Kiss is playing overseas, and tomorrow night, I believe, is by the time you guys hear this, it'll be tonight. But I think they're in Russia. So don't use the phone. Don't talk about things in the room. You know, there's bugs in the light bulbs and all that other stuff. That Putin guy. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about the subjects that that Sonny came up with. You guys ready?
So we're going to do the topic of the week.
Topic of the week! I don't know why I said it that way, but it's awesome.
I liked it.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
Okay, yeah. So we basically, you know, like I said before, we asked Sonny for, you know, a topic or two, if whatever he wanted to talk about. And he sent us a bunch of stuff, and they're all good. So it's kind of a potluck topic of the week. So one of the things that he wanted to talk about was some Kiss songs that you thought should have been singles.
Okay.
What do you think, Jody? Tell me a song he should have released as a single but didn't.
I would say right off the bat, first album, Do should have been the first single.
I agree 100% with that. What do you think, Sonny? Do you think that they dropped the ball by not releasing that first?
Yeah, I think so. Deuce is just a staple in the show, and it's such a great song that they should have released it. It would have been a punch in the mouth for sure.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe they didn't only because it started the show, and they didn't want to... If you went to see some band and their only hit, they start with it, then what are you waiting for? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that'd be the only reasoning I could come up with of why they wouldn't.
I think maybe it was too heavy for the time. Like, I don't know what was on top 40 stations in 74, but my guess is they're probably a little heavy.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the heavier tunes on the record, no doubt. But like you said, man, it's one of those staples that it's like one of the best Kiss songs ever, you know, Deuce. It's fucking Deuce, dude. But, never made any sense. Well, what else could you guys throw out there? Like, let's move to Hotter Than Hell. What would you have as the single?
Man, I almost feel like they could have, you know, they could have shown their, like, softer side sooner. It really helped them when Beth came out, you know?
Yeah. But think about if they would have had like one of those ballads that Peter sang on the first album, may not even have had a second album. You know?
Yeah.
The way Peter reacted to his success, you know?
Maybe
I was thinking Parasite.
Parasite. Did Let Me Go Rock and Roll, was that a single?
Yeah, that was the only single, I think.
Man, they could have done Parasite. They could have done Going Blind. Mainline, when you listen to that song, it fits on the radio. It could be, you know.
Yeah, Mainline could have been a hit, I think, too.
Yeah, man, when you listen to that song, it's very the mainstream for no pun intended, you know. Mainline is mainstream when you listen to it. It's got a great vocal. It's not like real heavy, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, they did Let Me Go Rock and Roll back with Hotter Than Hell for the record, so that's a good choice. Let Me Go Rock and Roll fits the radio just as much as Mainline, don't you think?
I would agree, and I would say that that's my favorite song on the record. So
I think I would have done Got to Choose, like if we're doing a Should Have Been a Single, Decibel Geek style.
Or even Coming Home would have been a good... What does it say what was on the other side of the record? Just Let Me Go Rock and Roll?
Yeah, it's 45? Backed, it's backed with Hotter Than Hell.
Okay.
Coming Home would have been a radio hit, I think.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, man, because it seems like no one really cared about that song until Unplugged, you know? Like, they never played it live, and it would have been cool electric, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I never heard it live till Unplugged, and I remember when I heard it on Unplugged, I'm like, what album is that song on? And then yeah. I had to go back and rediscover it.
I think the only way that they would have played that live is if it would have been the convention tours.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first time I heard it was at the convention before Unplugged. And it was like shocking and awesome, you know, because they'd never done it, you know.
But yeah.
Yeah, Let Me Go Rock and Roll is a great choice, though. That's one of those other staples that I love and I know you love. You love that one too, Sonny?
I'm warm on that one. There's much better songs, in my opinion, on Hotter Than Hell.
When I think of that song, I invariably think about the live version that just slays. It's just so badass. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you on that. On Hotter Than Hell, it's not quite as rocking.
So let's see. Dress to Kill is next. Let's do the first three. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, they knew what was up, so they released Rock and Roll All Night, backed with Getaway. And then they did Come On and Love Me, backed with Getaway. So they definitely thought Getaway as a B-side. But besides Rock and Roll All Night, what would you have released as a single?
Maybe Room Service?
No way. You know what it should be, Joan. It's your favorite. anything for my baby, man. We're always funny. Arguing about that song. But no, Come On and Love Me was released. I would have done, if not anything for my baby, I think Love Her All I Can is one of the strongest songs on the album.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want to do that because of the whole, it was such an old Wicked Lester thing in their mind, you know? So maybe they didn't think of it that way. But that song still rules as far as I'm concerned. Love Her All I Can. Boom.
What do you think, Sonny?
I think they got the right two singles on here. I love Room Service. I think it would have been tough as a single. I don't know why they used Getaway on both B-sides, so it's a little weird.
It is weird.
But I don't know if you guys noticed this over time, but they weren't releasing very many singles on the original six. It wasn't like Bon Jovi where they released like eight singles on one album. Like, they just didn't do that because I guess probably the albums were just coming too fast, maybe.
Yeah, and they weren't really selling at all, and radio wouldn't fucking touch them. It's weird, though, considering Bogart. I mean, he's the singles man, you know what I'm saying? You would have thought he would be pushing out Kiss singles all the time. I mean, if you look at his old career in Bubblegum, it's all about the single, you know?
Yeah, it's all about the single. But, you know, maybe when they released the first song off the first Kiss record, they went, it's obvious nobody's going to play this, play our music. You know, let's not waste a lot of money.
Yeah. It's strange, though, the first single's Nothing to Lose, you know? Like, why would you pick that one?
Yeah, man, you know, about butt loving.
Yeah, I mean, most people probably didn't catch that just by hearing it. I know I didn't until Gene started talking about it for the last 30 years or whatever, but I don't know, it's just an odd choice.
Yeah, it's a good song, but not the first single. I would love to know who made that decision.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's the guys. Like, But I don't know if you want the artist to make the decision when they first start out anyway.
Right. I'm sure Bogart picked it.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
Is there another record, Sonny, that you wanted to talk about, a single that you thought should have been released?
I think the biggest one they missed was I Stole Your Love. How can you not release that as a single? It's beyond me. I don't mind Christine 16 or Love Gun, but I Stole Your Love should have been all over the place.
Pedal to the metal, make your mom spill her wine, rock and roll.
Yeah. I think the other like glaring omission is I Still Love You. I think that could have been a huge hit.
I think it still could be.
Yeah.
I mentioned it all the time. I think that some R&B singer should buy the rights to that song and re-record it, and they would make a huge hit out of it, I think.
You like Bruno Mars?
No. Well, yeah, maybe. You
nah,
know, I
someone
think
more like R. Kelly or like R. Teddy Kelly Pendergrass, might. Someone that could sing.
Yeah. Yeah, man, just really belt that out like R&B style.
Maybe Mariah. Be... Mariah should hit that one.
In a small little outfit, maybe a teddy.
Fuck it. She could sing it naked. It'd be hot.
Yep, it would be.
The non-makeup years, I thought the biggest two misses. Well, I think there was three big misses because just what was popular on the radio at the time. I think they missed on A Million to One. I think they missed on I've Had Enough. And I think they missed on Under the Gun. All three of those would have put them in like that new metal category that they were looking to get into. So I'm not sure why they didn't go there.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Or even on the eighth day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kiss doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to picking singles, dude. They just don't. I mean, they've kind of chosen some that make sense, like Shout It Out Loud or Detroit, you know what I mean? But some of them, I think, though,
it's still... I'm not even sure if it comes down to Kiss, though. It's the label, right? You know, who were they on? That was the new... Once they got into the non-makeup, they were on a completely different label, right?
Yeah.
Polygram, I think, right?
Yeah, Polygram or
Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from, you know, reading all the articles in the books, you know, Polygram, they weren't even really all that thrilled, you know.
I'm sure they were somewhat happy when Returns started coming in on Lick It Up. You know, it was a pretty big hit record.
Sure.
And Animalize, too, and Asylum. They were on a roll, dude.
Yeah.
And they did Right by Heavens on Fire. It's Thrills in the Night. I'm like, come on, dude. You can't put that on the radio. I've Had Enough would have been so much better.
Maybe they thought it was just too heavy.
Yeah. Maybe.
But at that time, you had what? Motley Crue, Quiet Riot, Rat, all that stuff on the radio. So it would have fit.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because... Maybe the subject matter was a little much because it's like praying and scheming, no time for dreaming. So it's basically saying that like praying is a waste of time, right? They didn't want that message out there.
Maybe.
It was a little too satanic for the time. Today it fit right in.
Yeah, it would. all right, so that's cool. Let's check out another subject that Sonny came up with. I like this idea. This is this or that. I like that idea. Okay, so just for instance, this or that, Bruce or Vinny?
Bruce, dude.
For me, it's Vinny.
Really?
I would have loved to have Vinny all the way through the 80s if he could have just calmed down.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to calm down, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Invasion stuff. It's ridiculous.
Love his songwriting. Love it so much.
I do agree with you there. He's written some of the best non-makeup Kiss shit, but still.
We're big guys.
I'm a Bruce head. He was the dude that was in Kiss when I was like coming into it all, you know? So I go Bruce.
Let me do another one. All right, I'm gonna throw a few at you now. Okay, Love Gun costume or Destroyer costume?
Love Gun for me.
For me it's Love Gun.
Yeah, Love Guns are better because I think that Paul and Peter both have weak Destroyer outfits. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. So, here's another one. Super Kiss. You ready?
Yeah.
Peter's costume or Eric's?
For me, I would probably say Peter just because of those crazy heads on his shoulder. It's just a source of so much comedy.
I love Peter's outfit. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm going, yeah, man, that thing must have weighed 80 pounds.
Yeah, I got to go with Peter, too, although I like Eric in every other facet comparing the two. But he just always looked odd with the makeup and the costumes. So just never looked right. Yeah, just never looked right.
At least he wasn't the Hawk.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
That could have gone bad. Okay, so since the both of you started liking Kiss when they were out of makeups, would you say, so this or that, with or without makeup?
With. Dude, with. Always with.
Oh, I'll alienate myself and say without. Because I love 80s Kiss.
Okay, that's all right, man. We don't have a problem with
that. No, I love 80s Kiss, too, but if you're talking about looking at them, I'd rather see them in makeup, even if they sounded exactly the same, like, in the 80s, you know? They didn't look as cool. Even Revenge, where everyone thinks they look so cool, that's not as cool as, like, Love Gun, you know?
Yeah, but what do you think about musically non-makeup Kiss or makeup Kiss?
I'm a old school. I love the first, you know, six records the most, but then after that, I would choose the 80s over Dynasty, Unmasked, and Elder, and Creatures, and I would choose the 80s non-makeup shit over Monster, Sonic Boom, Psycho Circus, anything they've done since the reunion, you know what I mean? Musically, for sure.
Yeah, musically, I love the 80s Kiss, including Unmasked, and I love Dynasty.
Oh, I love those too, but I love the 80s a little bit more than that, musically.
Anything Psycho Circus and after, I'm having a hard time getting into, to be honest. And then out of those first six albums, I really like Rock and Roll Over and Dressed to Kill. Those were the... Destroyer is hit and miss for me. There's some great songs on there, and then there's some songs I don't love so much.
I'd say every Kiss record has at least one or two shitters on it, though, dude, really. I don't think there's one of them that I could say that there's not a song or two that I'm like, you know? Because even on Dressed to Kill, I could do without a couple of those.
Like Anything for My Baby.
No, not that one. I gotta have that one. But, I mean, Ladies in Waiting, I don't need it necessarily.
My I actually think my favorite my Kiss album that I think every song is great is Creatures of the Night. I love that album. I can put it on. For me, it's like now I'm not saying it's in the same level, but it is definitely my Master of Puppets, where I can turn on Master of Puppets and I don't have to skip. I just let it play, and every song is to me really good. I can drop that needle, let it go. Of course I have to flip the record halfway through. But
of course.
you just need an auto reverse cassette tape. That's, you know, cassette deck, and you don't gotta do that.
Damn, yeah. Forgot about those auto reverses. Those were
good. Oh yeah. Oh, if iTunes was available when I was in high school, I don't graduate. Like, I had that auto verse on the tapes. I had that coughed down when I was listening to that in English class. So yeah,
that's awesome. Hey, I forgot to mention this, but did I mention Jody on the show last weekend that I was on Record Store Day? I went into a record store and I got the originals for $16 with all the inserts.
You did not.
Wow. Yeah.
In good shape?
Yeah. What a lucky day.
Wow.
And somebody was trying to sell it to me for $40 like the day before. And I was like, I can't pull the trigger for $40. And the next day I just happened to go into this record store and somebody told me it's Record Store Day. And I was like, oh, wow, what a coincidence. And then I started going through the records and there's the originals.
Cool.
Okay. So there, that was my lead in. Originals 1 or Originals 2? So you gotta think what's on the first three and then the second three.
I go 1.
Oh, I gotta go 1.
Yeah, I go 1 too.
That's one of the Kiss albums I don't have, is the Originals 2. I mean, I got all the, obviously, the three records contained within, but I've never been able to find it at a decent price. And the one time that I did, I didn't have enough money with me.
What was it, like $150?
Nah, dude, it was like 80.
Ooh.
And I,
with the inserted masks and everything? Or?
Nah, I didn't have all the shit. I mean, I like all that original shit, but it's not as important as the jacket and the records themselves, you know?
No, I get it. Yeah, I walked into this place. I asked the guy, hey, can I pull this out of the sleeve? He goes, yeah, when I opened it. I mean, I thought for sure he had the wrong price on there, but I was just like, bring it up, man. He's like, all right, cool. And you can tell the guy was like wasted. He's like, all right, man.
Peace, bruh.
You know, online you can get it for about, you know, $30 or $40, but
yeah,
not say $16.
Do you know what press it is by chance?
First.
Right on.
Wow. It had the sticker, it had the cards not taken out, not perforated, you know.
Damn.
And it had the book.
You could probably sell all the swag that came with it and make your money back and then some, and keep the records. I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm just saying you could, because if you, those cards are hard to find, and especially non-perforated.
Yeah, still in the little card. Pretty awesome. Okay, so we'll go back. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt with all that, but you know, it was one of those things. Yeah, I can put it together. Sonny, what's the best find you ever had where you were walking through it, like out of nowhere, you went, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah, I went with a friend of mine in a record store in San Francisco, and I found a Paul Stanley picture disc solo album and the Ace Frehley picture disc solo album. And I was looking at both of them. The guy goes, "I'll give you both for $30. I'm like, "No, each?" Hey. He goes, no, together. I'm like, all right. Right, yeah. He's wearing a Deadhead shirt. I'm like, he has no clue what he's doing. Paid $30, I bounced.
Right on.
That's cool.
I miss picture discs. Sorry to keep that going, but man, weren't they cool?
Yeah, no, they were cool, man. You know, on the Hot in the Shade tour, that's when they were selling, or it might have been just the Hits tour at that point. I don't know if it was hot. It was called Hot in the Shade, but they released a. It was like a gatefold record of hits, right? And smashes, thrashes, and hits, and it was a picture disc. On one side, it was that picture of H.G., Peter, and Paul, where they're. Ace is on his knees and they're holding the guitar and Ace is like turning the knob, you know?
Yeah.
On the other side, it was the cover of Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. Hmm. And man, I had that for the longest time and I don't know what I did with it. I'm so mad. But when you open up the gatefold, it told the history of Kiss.
That's pretty cool. I used to have this really cool one, dude, that, you know, that the like bondage shots of Kiss with that chick that's naked and bloody and all that.
Yeah.
It had that on one side and I can't remember what was on the other side, but the when you played the album, it was an interview with Gene on one of the nights that they were getting ready to record live. And it was the first time I ever heard Gene, and I was just like, gosh, man, he sounds so crazy. Like, you know, when you first hear his voice, it's not what you expect at all, you know?
You expect it to sound like Phantom of the Park.
or the middle of God of Thunder, like totally just fucked up sounding, but he's like, "Oh, yes, I'm a school teacher," and all this. He sounded really nasally on this record, and almost like it might have been a little bit sped up or something, because he sounds a lot like higher pitched than normal, you know? But it was such a cool-looking album, I had to get it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Sonny, you still have those picture discs, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a bunch. I have a Reason to Live one, a Crazy Nights one, my favorite one, which is Creatures of the Night. I've got a bunch of them. Asylum one.
You have the Creatures of the Night one?
Is it etched or whatever?
There's another one where on one side their autographs are etched into the vinyl.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have that one. It's just plain.
Yeah, that would be cool. Does it glow in the dark?
I wished it did. If it did, it'd be my nightlight. I can tell you that. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
That's awesome. I know one of them, I think one of them, they set it up where it glow. Yeah, how do you say that? Glows in the dark.
Podcast Rock City. Yeah! If it's too loud, you're too old.
All right, so let's go to another one of Sonny's.
Yeah, keep it rolling. This is fun.
Hotter Than Hell versus Rock and Roll Over.
Rock and Roll Over.
Rock and Roll Over.
Oh, it's closer than you guys think. I have to go with Rock and Roll Over too. But so I put put both albums up in an album battle. Put it on a couple of podcast sites, and it was like one vote was 13-9, Rock and Roll Over. The other one was like 12-11. Rock and Roll Over. But people had a hard time with Hotter Than Hell not winning because they really wanted it. I hate that there's no Ace written songs on Rock and Roll Over. That's the only thing I don't like about Rock and Roll. And I don't like the cartoony album cover.
I love both of those album covers. But I think the reason that Rock and Roll Over edges it out is not because of the songs necessarily. It's just the production. You know, Kramer's is so much better than...
Oh, yeah.
Who was it? Kerner and Wise on Hotter Than Hell?
Yep.
Not so great.
Maybe it was because Paul's guitar got stolen the first day. Maybe they had to use a different guitar or something.
Maybe. Hey, Sonny, which album? Now, I know the answer for Jody and I, but Ace's solo album or Paul's?
Ace's for me. although I love Paul's.
Okay.
But Ace is my favorite member.
Right. Do you think you shouldn't have hoarded all those songs for a solo album? You think you should have? I mean, any of them could have been a Kiss song. Do you agree with that, guys?
Yeah, it depends on if you believe they knew they're going to do solo albums, right? Was he being savant-like and thinking in 76, 77 that, you know what, sooner or later I'm going to do a solo album, I'm going to save all these songs, and do they stand up the test of time as he's saving them? I don't know.
Yeah, I think
it was 76 when they were re-signing that became an option. Because Ace has said himself that he was saving songs in 76, and that's part of the reason why we don't have anything on Rock and Roll Over, you know? And really nothing on Destroyer.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Is there an Ace song on Destroyer? I don't think so. No, I can't think of one off the top of my head. I mean,
no.
That he wrote.
No, I can't think of one either.
Nope.
I can't think of one either, to be honest.
Yeah, so...
He wrote part of Flaming Youth.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know why. You can leave that one off the album. Sorry, did I say that out loud? I have a hard time with that song.
You don't like Flaming Youth?
That one and Great Expectations. I'm just like, really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Great Expectations, but I like Flaming Youth.
Man. I love both of those tracks, but whatever.
All right, let's see. Top 5 Kiss album openers.
Album openers?
Yep. Okay,
all right.
Sonny, you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, let's hear Sonny's first, because I got to think for a second.
All right, so you want all 5?
Yeah.
All right, so mine go in this order. Exciter, I've Had Enough, I Stole Your Love, Unholy, and Room Service.
Wow, Room Service is in there.
That's cool. I would have some of the same ones. I would definitely have I Stole Your Love. I definitely have I've Had Enough. But I would add I Want You, Detroit Rock City, and if we can count Aces into this mix, I'd do Rip It Out.
Yeah, I would add Creatures of the Night in there.
That's a great idea, yeah. I didn't think about that.
I Stole Your Love, yeah.
What about Crazy Crazy Nights with the...
Whoa! No, it's a song for everybody out there. Detroit Rock City. Definitely.
You ready to hear that on all the videos coming up in the Europe tour? You know they're playing that every night.
Really?
Well, that was a hit there, so they have to, and that's why they played it at that Reno show, I bet, yeah.
Well, good for them. They need to pull out some more 80s songs.
Totally. Especially if they could pull out some Gene ones, because a lot of those Paul ones, there's no way. There's just no way.
No way you can sing it.
Like, can you imagine Paul trying to hit, like, a Fight Hell to Hold You or something? Would never work. You'd have to have Eric Singer do it.
Yeah, so I saw an acoustic show where some of the songs like Hide Your Heart, Every Time I Look at You, this was a couple of years ago, they played in a casino down here in Southern California.
Yeah.
And when they started Hide Your Heart, I'm like, oh no, this is going to be a problem. Now when they do that type of stuff, Eric Singer's almost doing a dual vocal melody in the verses. And I never knew how great a singer that Eric was, but wow, he can sing.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about it on our last episode.
Yeah, I heard about that. That was a great episode, by the way.
Thank you. All right, so one more subject. This one I'm going to throw out to Sonny, and I want to see what his answer is. Let's say time travel was real, and you could do it. If you could go back in time, starting right now, and see something, anything, but just one, anything that Kiss did, like any show or any video shoot or anything, what would it be?
Oof. I would want to be there for the recording sessions of Love Gun. I think at that point, there's a lot of animosity between the four, but they still somehow work together, and there's people in and out of the studio doing stuff, and I know it'd be a little bit of drama, but I want to see, like, how bad was it really? Like, do Ace and Gene kind of make it sound worse than it is, or was it really that bad?
Huh.
That would be awesome, man.
That would be awesome to see. Most people, when we ask that question, so many people say Winterland. I would love to be at Winterland. And Jody, Winterland is there for Jody, but I think he would like to be at the Kite Festival.
Kite Fest would be pretty badass, but I would love to see them, and like even cutting the first demos with Kramer or some shit like that, or in the rehearsal space just practicing. Or can you imagine being at the audition where Ace comes in and we'll see if he's really wearing the sneakers and if they really told him to shut the fuck up and if Bob was there, you know what I'm saying? It would just be so cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey man, you know, that's pretty awesome. That was a good answer, man. It wouldn't have dawned on me to be at a place where they might not have been getting along. Was it really as bad?
But yeah, somehow even through that, they released one of their strongest records. You know what I mean? I mean, Love Gun's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and I want to see Ace singing, right? Because I wish he would have started earlier. I think, you know, singing Parasite, singing Strange Ways, like I would have rather had him sing some of that stuff that got tossed off to other people. So I want to see him singing in the studio, and are the guys looking at him going, okay, we can't stand this guy no more, but he can sing too now? What now?
And why is he laying down? What the hell?
Yeah. That's funny. All right, so that was our main topic for the day. Thank you guys for doing that with me. I appreciate it. Now, it is time for Jody's infamous Sweet 16.
Dun, now, dun, dun.
Damn.
I got you there.
Yeah, you did.
That's awesome. And actually, this week, it's Sonny's infamous Sweet 16. Dun, dun, dun. So Sonny said, hey, I want to do the show with you, and I want to do a Sweet 16. So, of course, Jody was like, get the topic, get the subject, get all the you know, the things. And so Sonny, I mean, he's quick too. He was like, oh man, I'm gonna have to do this. I'll have it to you before the end of the day. And he sure as hell did. That's awesome. So if you don't know what a Sweet 16 is, on our show, it's basically like a Sweet 16 for basketball. We start off with 16 whatevers, Gene songs or Paul songs, and we whittle them down until we get number one. So it'll be 16, then 8, then 4, then 2, and then the winner. And what was our subject, Jody?
It looks like it's a lot of Gene songs.
Is it all Gene songs, Sonny?
It's all Gene songs.
All Gene songs.
Covering the whole gamut. So that's pretty cool.
The whole gamut. Yep.
So the winner is Deuce. Thank you for listening.
Dude, Deuce is always a very strong contender for these things. No matter what subject it is, Deuce seems to rise above, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
We'll see what happens, though.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's kick it.
All right, let's go.
Podcast Rock City, Sweet 16.
All right, Sweet 16! Yes! Sweet 16!
What are we waiting for?
Let's stop this pussy footing around.
Oh, yeah!
Right?
Sweet 16! All right, listen!
So we got Deuce versus No, No, No.
Yep. No, it's going to be Deuce.
I got to go with Deuce.
Yep. No brainer there. How about War Machine versus Betrayed?
You try. I'll go with War Machine.
I got to go with War Machine.
Yeah. I think I would have went Betrayed, but I'm just tired of War Machine. How about Watching You versus Unholy?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Watching You.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Unholy. So we need a tiebreaker.
Jody,
I gotta go Watching You, man. I have to.
It's easy for Jody.
Watching You is like one of my favorite Gene songs. So yeah, not that Unholy isn't a great one, but Watching You got Ace Frehley on it. So Naked City versus Within.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Naked City. Thank you.
I'm going with Naked City.
I would too.
Yep.
Naked City is one of the songs we champion around here.
Yep. I would sell my house and my son and take the money and give it to. He just said, hey, I'm right back here. And pay Kiss to play Naked City.
Hey, Gene might still pull it out.
There's a cool cover version of Naked City out there by Jorn, J O R N.
Really?
He's a European singer. It's really good.
I'm going to have to look that up later. Yeah. I might even insert a little piece of it right here. Yeah.
actions have turned to stone. No one is happy, they're all alone. I'd sacrifice my social position tonight.
It's really good.
Cool.
Next.
Two-timer versus Fits Like a Glove.
For me, it's Fits Like a Glove.
I got to go with Fits Like a Glove.
I would, too. Fits Like a Glove is one of the classic Gene tunes that a lot of people talk shit on. I think it rules. But how about Charisma versus Hate?
Oh. I'll go with Hate.
Oh, I'm going with Charisma.
I'd say Charisma as well.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Such a great rhyme scheme. What is my charisma? All right, so God of Thunder versus Young and Wasted. I guess we're using the Gene version on Lick It Up, though, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. I will go with God of Thunder.
Oh, I'm going to go with Young and Wasted.
You put me in that position, huh, Sonny?
Yeah.
But since we're talking about the Gene version, now if we were talking about the Eric version live, I would probably go Young and Wasted. But since we're not, I got to go God of Thunder. Sorry about that, buddy.
It's okay.
Rick Carr singing Young and Wasted is awesome.
I don't understand why they didn't just let him bust that on the album. It would have been so cool. I guess they just weren't ready to let somebody else sing yet, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to define, you know, this is the Kiss we are now, which is basically Gene and Paul. But anyhow, how about Dr. Love versus Domino?
I like both those songs, but I'm going to go with Dr. Love.
Ooh, I'm going with Domino.
I got to go Dr. Love, Sonny. I don't dig on Gene as ZZ Top. Ow. I just like, stop. Just stop, dude. Because in like the bridge and the chorus, he sounds like Gene Simmons, but that whole like ZZ Top intro, nah, skip that. I'd say delete that.
Delete.
So, all right, so we're into the next round. We're talking Deuce versus War Machine.
Better watch out.
It can't compete with Deuce. I'd say Deuce.
See, I gotta go War Machine.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is where Deuce might get bounced.
No, it's not going to get bounced. It's Deuce. War Machine, man. That was Gene's, like, next God of Thunder, you know?
Yeah. I loved that riff when I was a kid. I think if they hadn't played it for the last 20 years straight, it might have a different outcome. I'm just sick of that one. But how about Watching You versus Naked City? This is a tough one.
Naked City.
I got to go Watching You.
So do I, man. So do I. Yeah. I love Naked City as much as Joe, probably, but Watching You, dude, you know?
Okay, that's all right. I'm not hurt.
All right. How about Fits Like a Glove versus Charisma?
Oh.
Hot Knife Through Butter?
Well, and with those two, I go with Charisma.
Me too. Gotta go with Charisma.
All right. All right. God of Thunder versus Dr. Love.
Oh, man. Dr. Love.
I gotta go with God of Thunder. The place just changes when they play that live.
Totally. I'm going to God of Thunder as well. All right. So we're into the Frightsome Four right now. We got Deuce versus Watching You.
Watching You.
I'm going with Watching You.
Oh, Deuce shit. Gets bounced. Deuce gets bounced. Yeah. Holy smokes. All right, Charisma versus God of Thunder.
God of Thunder.
What you got, Sonny? Oh,
I gotta go with my dynasty brother, Charisma.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go Charisma because at least Gene wrote that one, and this is a Gene list, so Charisma will take it, and that means we're down to Watching You or Charisma.
That's Watching You for me.
That's Watching You for me too.
It's Watching You for all of us, and Watching You will take it.
Take it! Wow!
No
wow.
Juice! Wow!
Juice!
Wow!
But Watching That's You. That's interesting. Is one
when
of the
I
best.
Did my when I did my own, Deuce had won.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Oh man, that's cool.
Thanks for putting that together, Sonny. We really appreciate it. Yeah, man, that's those Sweet 16s, those infamous 16s are so much fun to do. If you guys get the opportunity, you want to go back in time and look at some of our older shows, Jody puts these together all the time, and they're always great and a lot of fun. Man, I'm wondering if I should go and find them all and then just do one show, put it all together of nothing but our Sweet 16s. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that'd be something cool to do for like a Thanksgiving episode or something.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Sonny. We will remember that and do it.
No, what we should do instead of a compilation of them, we should make like a Sweet 64 or whatever the next bracket up would be of like.
Oh, that's a good idea,
a
too.
Shit ton of them. It would take a whole damn episode to do it, though.
It would take a whole episode.
But it might be cool. Something special, something different.
Yeah, absolutely. You got anything to add, Jody?
I would add, Sonny, thanks so much for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate you donating to the fund of the Rockin' Pod Expo. It's going to help some of the other podcasters that are a little bit further away get down there, so that's really cool.
No, guys, thanks for having me. I mean, being able to talk about KISS, which on some of the other podcasts I've done, we haven't talked about KISS really at all. We talked a little bit about Vinny, but that was it. But talking about my favorite band, obviously your guys' favorite band, and you know, KISS has been a staple of my musical library my entire life, and it will continue to be so. So, thanks for the opportunity, guys.
That is awesome. Yeah, so you guys know that we are big podcast fans and KISS podcast fans, and you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we listen to right after the show in 3, 2, 1.
Peace! You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel KISS Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited.
Right.
Tune in and hang out with your KISS Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the Gods of Thunder.
Yes.
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album.
KISS podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.